It's been leading up to this, and now is the time.
No one can save the daylight. Robin Washit of Husker Online. Robin will
make you sway. I'm just going to say, enough with the rock. Boy, if somebody could just punch Littlefinger in the face, you might actually have to tweet at you and you can cyber high-five each other. No one can
save the daylight. Robin Washit of Husker Online.
Pretty jacked.
Well, we got about 10,000 things to talk about with this guy, so let's bring him in right now. Robin Watch at HuskerOnline.com. Robin, how are you, man?
Doing well, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's start with Sunday, because you were obviously at the press conference. Just from your vantage point, from how you interpreted it all, with the things that you saw, the things that you heard, what stood out to you? What was the defining aspect for you on Sunday as you watched Scott Frost officially be named Nebraska's head coach?
Well, he obviously said all the right things and, you know, basically delivered the message that everyone wanted to hear. But what really struck me was everything around the press conference. The 150 or so former players that on, you know, just about 12 hours notice all made it back to Lincoln for surprise welcoming for Scott back to Lincoln. And then I don't know how many players, the current players showed up. There were quite a few of them. The number of current and former players, just the coaches from all different sports. There were people hanging over the fourth floor balcony.
Amazing.
Perched up, and he got a standing ovation, a couple different times during his press conference. So just the vibe around that entire press conference really, I thought, encapsulated what this hiring means to Nebraska. Yeah. The fact that he is one of their own, he knows what people want to hear, and then just has this connection to the entire, not only football program, but the athletic department and the state as a whole. And I thought that was really reflected with just the energy and excitement that surrounded that thing. I was watching, news reports. People were tailgating for his press conference, throwing watch parties, wearing jerseys and stuff. So, I mean, the amount of hype and anticipation and excitement surrounding a new head coach is unlike anything I've ever seen since I've been covering this team.
Robin, for you, clearly Matt Davison played a pretty big role with courting Scott Frost the last 2 months, and he's obviously parlayed that into an associate athletic director spot with football. What are you most confident in with Matt, and why he's going to excel at that role?
Well, he's probably has his finger as firmly on the pulse of Nebraska athletics and the fan base as anyone. He's a guy that is always mingling with fans and alumni and former players and, coaches and current players. So, I mean, he understands kind of the mentality that's going around the program right now as well as anyone you're going to find. Then you add in the fact that he is such a trusted resource for Scott Frost. I mean, they're darn near best friends. Matt was in Scott's wedding. Just that trust factor is going to be huge, because Scott's been away for a while. He said he hadn't been in a Memorial Stadium essentially since he played before that press conference. And so, he's kind of got to ease his way back into this and have someone like Matt, who's as connected and understands what's going on so well. That's going to be huge just for him to kind of, for Scott to understand what he's getting himself into and what needs to be addressed first and foremost. And, the biggest concerns that Nebraska fans and people within the athletic department have going forward.
What do you think is going to change the most with whether it's how we in the media cover Frost from an access standpoint, or maybe how the fans react to different things? I mean, because you already saw, I don't know if you were kind of in the media scrum afterwards, where it sounds like Frost kind of got stern with the media and said, listen, here's the line, and you guys can't cross it. Like, there's no calling my mom, there's no pictures of my kid, all that stuff. Like, it's going to be kind of a different deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that even needed to be said.
Yes.
But that's another issue. Obviously Scott's a guy that, he's a very private person. That was probably one of the things that, he liked most about Central Florida. There was a story that came out from the Central Florida media member, I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but he basically chronicled, you know, a conversation with, you know, Scott that he had just before that conference championship game. And, you know, he was saying that one of the things he liked the most is, you know, he could go win a home game, a big game with 40,000 people in attendance, and then stop on his way home to get a burrito wearing all Central Florida stuff, walk in there, and no one even bats an eye at who he is.
Right.
So that anonymity is something I think that he really liked, and he's not going to get that whatsoever now. And so that's going to be an adjustment for him. I mean, he is the biggest figure in the state of Nebraska right now, and that's going to be a transition for him, you know, personally and professionally. And so, you know, that's I'm glad that he was, you know, kind of getting out in front of it, setting the groundwork a little bit that, you know, let's keep this about me and football. Don't take pictures of my kids,
right,
or all my
right.
parents, whatever. I do think that part of that was in relation to the rumor that media members were camped outside.
Was that ever substantiated? Was that real?
Several people from several different stations, and no one knew anything about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's too bad.
Someone that's outside of the Lincoln Omaha media market, then maybe, but certainly wasn't any of the notable outlets. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that may have been a rumor stirred up, and I think the question back in Orlando was asked to him by a local reporter down there.
Yep.
Take it for what it is. But anyway, long story short, yes, I think that that's probably going to be the biggest difference, is you're going from a guy in Mike Riley who really didn't care, you know, what the media did. You know, you could sit there and go to lunch with him or whatever it is, and he didn't care. You know, he was just about as easygoing as it gets, and now we got Frost, who likes to keep things close to the vest and isn't exactly going to be all that forthcoming with things that go on outside of the football realm.
Robin Wash at HuskerOnline.com. So we've seen already some of the staff come together. Seven guys were named yesterday. Also, it's to be expected Barrett Rood's going to be, I mean, he's going to be on the staff. He's probably going to be that 10th assistant when that comes into play in January. And then with the news today, Robin, of Central Florida hiring Josh Heupel as their next head coach, does that mean to you that Troy Walters is probably coming to Nebraska now as the offensive coordinator?
It would certainly seem that way. I think Walters is going to have other opportunities.
Yeah.
I know that he was mentioned for that Rice job. So, I mean, there's going to be head coaching positions that, you know, he'll have to choose from. But this is a big opportunity for him, too, even though it is, you know, kind of a, from a title standpoint, a lateral move. I mean, you're moving to the Big Ten, and, you know, working with a staff that you know and trust and obviously have a proven track record of getting it going in a hurry. And so if he's able to translate what they were able to do at Central Florida to the stage of the Big Ten in Nebraska, it's only going to be a matter of time before he gets a big-time job offer. So this, it's not a the step forward that maybe he would have liked, you know, going from a coordinator position to a head coach spot. But this still is a step in the right direction as far as, you know, the ladder of his career. So it makes a lot of sense there. Nebraska's shown they're going to pay accordingly. You know, I think that, you know, obviously Eric Chenander getting $800,000 right off the bat, that's kind of speaks volumes.
Yes, it does.
That's Bob Diaco money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest of the staff getting, you know, three other guys making $475,000, you know, the other guys making around $300,000 to $350,000. I mean, that shows that Nebraska's going to pay you know, this staff at an elite level.
Yeah.
So you got to imagine that Troy Walters will be compensated accordingly. And so, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways for him to come here. And, you know, now that the Central Florida job is off the table, I think it might be only a matter of time before he ends up in Lincoln as well.
Scott Frost coaching in the bowl game, how does that land to you?
I mean, I like it in a way that it shows what Scott's all about. You know, it wasn't just, know, for image sakes, that
sure.
he was talking about how much he loved his players and, you know, how he was all about that team down there doing this whole process. I think that that shows how serious he was and how real that love for his team was. And so that, you know, in itself kind of shows the character that he has. But for Nebraska's standpoint, you know, he's still going to be around. Obviously, they're going full force on the recruiting front right now. Our recruiting
Goodness.
Guys are having trouble even keeping up with all the offers that have been handing out here. So that isn't slowing down whatsoever. In fact, during his introductory press conference, he had several of those staff members already on the road
Sheesh.
In recruits' homes on in-home visits. So, you know, they're going full steam ahead. And with the signing period you know, coming up here in a couple weeks, there's going to be a dead period basically for the last week of December that, you know, there's really not a lot he'll be able to do as far as needing to be in Lincoln or on the road recruiting. So, you know, it makes sense that, you know, just that the time frame sets up well to where it's not going to, you know, be a detriment to his responsibilities at Nebraska. And, you know, obviously it shows the loyalty he has to his team at Central Florida. And then, you know, best of all, it's going to be a nice little recruiting pitch, you know, on a national stage in the Peach Bowl, you know, basically talking about Nebraska's next head coach, mm-hmm. kind of a little showcase event of what's going to come on the national stage. So Nebraska will benefit from it just from a PR standpoint. So I think it makes total sense for all parties involved, and I think it's a good thing for all sides.
We'll get you out of here on this one, talking a little hoops. Obviously, things didn't go well on Sunday for Nebraska, but that's, I mean, listen, Michigan State to me is one of the three best teams in the country. Yep. I mean, that was, it's, I mean, think about it. Nebraska went 10 of 22 from three and turned it over only five times and lost by 30. To me, that tells you more about Michigan State than Nebraska, but certainly Nebraska's now in the thick of this crazy stretch here. I'm not so sure this isn't the most winnable game of the next three yeah. with Minnesota tonight. I guess, how do you see this matchup? Because Minnesota's really good inside.
Well, we'll put it this way. Nebraska went into that Michigan State game as 19.5-point underdogs. They're only a 6-point underdog against Minnesota. So there's something Vegas knows that mm-hmm. this is going to be a little bit closer than the last time out. And I think that this being at home, you know, the Big Ten opener, I haven't gotten any word yet if Scott Frost is going to make an appearance.
I was wondering.
Or not. You know, the SID, you know, Seamus didn't know and Tim Miles didn't know. So either they're lying and keeping it a secret, or they truly, you know, don't know if that's going to happen.
You could save it for the Kansas game, too. There's always an option, too.
Yeah, that might even be better.
Yeah.
With it being a Saturday night. All. But anyway, they're doing the stripe-out game with the free T-shirts and a color-coordinated checkered pattern. They have an app that you can download on your phone that is going to, like, flash lights that's going to make a cool setting. So
sheesh.
It's going to be a pretty neat environment, you know, for what could be, like you said, the best opportunity they have in this four-game stretch to potentially pull off an upset. And what I said going into this was if they could get one of these next four, that's a win. Because, I mean, they're, you know, no one expected them to win any of them. But if they can steal one of those, I think they're still going to be in pretty good spot with three very winnable bye games, essentially, to close out the month going into the meat of conference play. You know, that'd be absolutely huge. If you could start 1-1 in the league, get a huge victory on your resume against a top 15 team, I mean, it really sets up for this to be a big opportunity. But like you said, Minnesota's 8-1 for a reason.
Yep.
They have maybe the best player in the Big Ten, including Miles Bridges and Jordan Murphy, who I think won three straight Big Ten Player of the Week, averaging 20 points a game, 15 rebounds. And he's been unstoppable. And on top of that, they have the nation's leading shot blocker in the middle of the center. So, I mean, from a front court standpoint, this might be the biggest challenge they face all year.
Yeah. And that's saying
Taco
something.
Fall of Central Florida.
Yep.
So, easier said than done. But like you said, this is probably the best chance they have to get one over that difficult four-game stretch.
Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. Robin, enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good, Nick. Talk to you later.
You got it. Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com, dropping knowledge on all things Huskers football and basketball. Let's take a break. Still to come, Andy Kendi, Mitch Light. Got some thoughts on that question I asked Robin about Scott Frost coaching in the bowl game. Tons of room for you. You can email me, Nick at 1620thezone.com, or, of course, you can hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. We'll wrap up the 11 o'clock hour next.